This is Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares my conversation with candidate for town council, Tom Mercer. This is one of a series of conversations with candidates for the Franklin election on November 2nd, 2021. I do this to provide Franklin, Mass. Voters with accurate and timely information that they can use to cast an informed vote. Publication of the answers or interview responses does not constitute an endorsement of this or any other candidate. We cover the candidate questions as previously developed in conjunction with the community and shared in advance with the candidates. Five of the questions are general in nature. The sixth is specific to the role of the candidate, in this case, for the town council. Our conversation runs about 21 minutes. So let's listen to my interview with Tom Mercer. All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 on the local Franklin area dial. Today, a candidate interview for town council and our current town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you very much, and thank you for doing this. I always feel that it's good to get as much information out to the public as you possibly can. And I think this format works very well.
Well, thank you. That's the key. And one of the taglines I realized I needed to put in there to reinforce that by doing this, this is not an endorsement of any particular candidate. This is simply, to your point, sharing the info so that all of us as Franklin residents, Franklin voters, when we go to the polls, certainly before November 2nd or on November 2nd, we've got multiple options, that we can cast an informed vote, because that's the best part of it. So I thank you for taking your time to share in this format. And let's just jump in, being mindful of your time, since you're taking time out of your workday to do this as well. So briefly, for those who haven't heard of you, or is like, what is your Franklin story? Tell us a little bit about your life here.
Okay, be happy to. Well, I'm a lifelong resident of Franklin. My wife and I, as well as our three daughters, are all graduates of the Franklin Public School System. I've served the residents of Franklin as a counselor for the last 10 years, and the last three as chairman. And formerly as a school committee member for 10 years in the 90s, eight of which I served as chairman of the school committee. In addition to that, I was chairman of the building committees for three of our largest and newest town structures, the Horace Mann Oak Street Franco Reagan ECDC school complex, the Franklin Senior Center, and obviously the one I'm most proud of is recently the new state-of-the-art Franklin High School. I served as a member of the Dean Community Council. I've served on the Franklin Country Club Board of Directors for 20 years. I serve on the Franklin Performing Arts Company Board of Directors for over 30 years. That's pretty much in a nutshell.
Do you have any spare time? No, we'll save that for another time.
That's kind of what my wife says, Steve.
Indeed. The to-do list at home might just be growing a little bit, huh?
It does grow at times, for sure.
Yes. And while we're talking specifically your candidacy, the next question will segue into that. Participating in elections is one of the key freedoms of American life, and voting is one of those primary responsibilities of citizens. While the law does not require citizens to vote, voting is an important part of any democracy. So what can you tell us about your own voting record? And if you've not been an active voter, tell us why. And how important is it that we elect people who are active participants in the election process?
Okay, well, I voted in almost every local and national election since I became an eligible voter. Obviously, the law does not require citizens to vote, but voting is such an important part of our democracy. And by voting, citizens are participating in the democratic process. Citizens vote for leaders to represent them and their ideas, and the leaders support the citizens' interests. Elections aren't just about who's in office. They're about which policies are put in place and where money is spent. Decisions are made every day around issues such as healthcare, education, fair wages, the environment, taxes, housing, and of course, public safety. When people choose not to vote, they're giving their voice and power to someone else. Local elections, in my mind in particular, have the most power to impact someone's everyday life.
Yeah, thank you for that. And in other places, I think we've talked as well of kind of the inverse impact where Franklin's record on local elections is about 20%. For an override, it's about 40%. For a state election, it's about 60%. For a federal election, it's 80%. And if you really look at that, it's following the money of advertising dollars, clearly to create the awareness for the presidential elections. And with all due respect, they have an impact. But to your point, and to reinforce, the reverse impact is really there, so that the local vote actually affects us as Franklin residents and voters more directly. And yet, other than the override piece, which even then is only at a 40% turnout, that's where our money is.
Yeah, and I agree. I just would love to see more voter participation as we move forward, because it is so important to what goes on in the community.
Yeah, it'll be a good marker, and we can cover that potentially later as well. With this election, having voting by mail the first exactly. time available, that I think will be a key indicator. Certainly it had a great effect last time, but we'll see how well it does on the regular election here for us as a local.
Agreed.
Then shifting to kind of the current pandemic, have you been vaccinated for COVID-19? And do you think there should be a mask mandate in Franklin? Or really the broader question is, what measures should government take to protect the public from the virus? And how should these efforts be delineated between local, state, and federal governments?
Great question. Yes, both my wife and I, as well as my 93-year-old mother that lives with us, have received two doses of the Moderna vaccine back in March and April, I believe. My wife actually has had a booster because she has some immune issues. So she has already received her booster, and I will certainly get my booster the moment it becomes available. Masks are now recognized as one of the most effective available tools to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And a growing body of evidence suggests that masks can be the difference between life and death for some people. Although 75% of Americans support masking requirements, there are continued difficulties in achieving cooperation with universal masking ordinances, basically making everybody do it, and how do you enforce it? Despite the growing number of mandatory mask requirements nationwide, enforcement strategies continue to be used in other areas of public health, which must now be considered. For instance, outdoors, masks are not required to be worn by anyone. Obviously, when you get into outdoor venues and so forth, there are some requirements. The unvaccinated people or children that have not been allowed to get the vaccine at this point. And unvaccinated individuals, obviously, I believe, should wear masks when they're with groups of people. Some businesses and state, local governments, certain events still require universal masks. I believe I agree with the federal mandate that suggests masks still be required in healthcare facilities, facilities serving vulnerable populations, public and private transit, correctional facilities, schools, childcare, you know, the main ones that we always hear about. Mm-hmm. I believe they should. But I also, our local Board of Health plays such a key role in identifying issues particular to the Franklin community. And I appreciate the valuable resources that's been provided by them. And you can go to the town's website and go to the pages and you'll see vaccination and COVID-19 data. And there's such a lot of very good local community information on that page. And I just ask people, if you have questions, go to the website. If you can't find the answers there, call the local Board of Health, and I'm sure there will be people there that will help you answer your questions, because this pandemic's been around now a year and a half, but there are still a lot of unanswered questions, and we're continuing to get data from both national as well as state and local as to what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, and what best helps everybody. And we need to get on the other side of this as soon as possible.
Yeah, and setting up then to the next question, what are the three important actions that you believe are needed to move Franklin forward?
I guess, and in no particular order, the structural budget deficit continues to be a challenge. In these tough economic times, it's the most important annual issue that faces the town council. The importance of reviewing every department's budget, making sure every dollar is scrutinized and is accounted for. The cost of doing business far outweighs our ability to raise revenues. Most importantly, there's never been a year when the town budget has not been a challenge. The coming years could be tough. I think, you know, we'll get through the next year based on what I'm seeing. I think we're okay. But with all of the information that we're getting from state and local officials, the next few years may be a little bit more difficult. So the budget obviously is the most important thing that the town council has to deal with and needs to continue to focus on. Another piece probably is managing the pros and cons to growth and development expectations. That'll continue to be a challenge. They'll require major rezoning reforms, which we've seen and we continue to see. As above, we must stay above the 10% housing stock. This continues to be something that can be a challenge. We've been okay the last few years, but I see as we move forward there, that may be something that needs to be addressed again. So it's good to keep an eye on that. Major capital projects, again, will need to be serious consideration. Funding for a new and renovated police station. And then the big one, replacing the 109-year-old Beaver Street Interceptor, and some scheduled improvements to many of our schools, our municipal building, sidewalks, general infrastructure. Everybody knows what our roads are like. And we have a $40 million backlog in roadwork. These are probably three of the most important things. And I'll throw a fourth in only because it's an issue that we've recently dealt with, but open space, always something that we should have in the backs of our mind. We need to continue to invest in open space. As everybody's aware, we just did that in purchasing that Maple Street property. But there are only one or two, maybe three tops parcels left in the town that would be good open space purchases. So I think that's something we need to keep in the back of our minds as well, because public demand is high to preserve recreational opportunities in open space, preserve our heritage, and control the fast growth in the community. So that kind of builds into the earlier one that I posed.
Yeah, I think that emphasizes that there's no simple solution. Everything's tied to something else somewhere along the way.
For sure.
So the last of the five kind of standard questions we ask all of the candidates: what experience or background will help you serve in this role? Or what do you bring to the table that helps you set apart, helps you to be set apart from the others?
I guess I believe I have the knowledge to ensure fair and honest representation to the residents and the businesses of Franklin. I'll work to keep and improve services and spend our tax dollars wisely. Having been previously elected and having served in local government for the last 30 years, I'm aware of the personal demands and political pressures, but I continue to look forward to those challenges, and they continue to be the challenges.
And then the last and final question of this is more specific to the role of town council. So the council, as you mentioned earlier, approves the annual budget, which sets the priorities for how Franklin operates. How do you see the financial priorities that we should address, and how do you explain to the voters and residents why you would vote that way?
Well, while local government's not a business, because it can't make all decisions based on the best economic outcome, it can benefit from good business planning and performance strategies to help ensure the taxpayers' dollars are spent wisely. Good planning also ensures that the departmental initiatives are conceived and coordinated to maximize the return to the taxpayer. And what I meant when I said local government not being a business, a good example is public bidding laws. And we have two prime examples of that. The Horace Mann Middle School, we ended up with a contractor because of public bidding laws that ended up being a very poor contractor, walking out on the job in the middle of the job. And then we had a contractor like we had for the Franklin High School, who was just magnificent. And the best team I believe we've ever put together was for the construction of the Franklin High School, architect, project manager, and so forth. So I think that's a piece for sure. I'll continue to work hard to improve the communication between town boards, both elected and appointed. Franklin deserves leadership dedicated to open government, safe schools, and a healthy local economy. I think, as we found out over the last year and a half, the Zoom piece of our public meetings has been a very valuable tool, not only for counselors and school committee people, planning board people, board of health, everybody using the Zoom platform to do some of their meetings over the last year and a half have learned that it is a valuable piece. Sure, there are some flaws, but they continue to be worked on. But I believe that the Zoom platform might be a platform that even after this pandemic might be a good informational tool to the public and giving the public, the people that can't get to the meetings, an opportunity to speak and be heard. And lastly, I think I've built a solid reputation as a leader, facilitating cooperation and constructive discussions that have led to success. I'm proud of my track record, and I ask for your vote on November 2nd.
Thank you. And I was going to ask if there was something else you wanted to add, but I think you just closed with that as well. So.
Trying to be prepared, Steve.
Absolutely. That's good. Well, thank you for taking time today. Hopefully the voters will appreciate this and the others that are coming out so that we'll all be able to make an informed vote as we either vote in person, by mail, absentee ballot, or ultimately on Tuesday, November 2nd. So thank you for your time today and best wishes to you and your endeavor on the campaign as well.
Thank you, Steve. And again, thank you for hosting these events and getting them out to the public, because it's very good information to get to them to make informed decisions. Thank you again.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.